Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 88 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Joey Victorian from Victorian's Barbecue in Houston, Texas. I've wanted to talk to him for a long time. I've been friends with him online. I missed him when he came out to Los Angeles to hang out and go get some Howlin' Rays, but this time we finally got a chance to get together, get this going, and hear about his history, his background. He grew up in Houston and Louisiana. We talk all about that. He plays the fiddle. I don't know if you knew that, which is just fascinating. I had no idea about that. And then how he slowly got into competition cooking, and then how he opened his trailer, and what his plans are for a permanent location. And this was right before the Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival, so we talk a little bit about that. It's just a great discussion. We get into a lot of topics, and I know you're really, really going to enjoy this. If you do like what you hear, please subscribe. I think that a lot of the podcast networks only give you about 20 episodes if you don't subscribe, so we're on episode 88, so you want a chance to hear them all, check them all out. There's a lot of really cool ones. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/Kevin's BBQ Joints with a ton more content, the actual visual version of these interviews and barbecue joint tours and butcher shop tours and the whatnot. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with a ton more content, but enjoy this. Good morning, Joey. How you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm glad I finally got a chance to do this. I've been meaning to do this. We've been meaning to do this for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. What, about 7-8 months now?
I think so. Oh, that's how it works. But I've had shingles in between too, so that kind of made it really fun.
It's all good, man.
So tell me what's a usual day for you, or what's I know that you have a lot of fun stuff coming up, so I want to talk about your background. But what's this week like for you?
This week, actually, this is one of the weeks that I don't have anything planned. I've got a bunch of stuff next week. We're going to be at the Texas Monthly Festival.
All right.
Snoping out, doing things. I'm not actually cooking there, but Austin is my second home, so I love going out there and hanging out with everyone. But this week, no plans. I am off of everything this week. I pick up my little girl halfway to Dallas, and I'll bring her back, and we'll do some Halloween stuff this weekend with her, and nice. That's about it. Just spending time with my family this week.
Well, that's great. And then for the festival, people don't know, it seems like people that aren't actually cooking at the festival are assisting people. Is that something that kind of a normal thing? Like people ask, hey, can you come in, or do you offer your services and come in? Is that how it works?
A little bit of both. Last year I helped Russell Ragle out at his place. Nice. And I'm really glad I did that, because I got to know a lot of pit masters and everyone that I've seen and talked to online through Instagram.
Yeah, how great is that?
Never really met them in person. So that was pretty exciting to do that and finally meet each other. You know, we all knew each other by our Instagram handles more than our names.
That's true. Isn't that funny? It's like you know these people probably for some people for many 3, 4 years, and it turns out like it's just nice to actually put a face to it.
Yep, absolutely. And so I'm pretty sure it's going to be like that this year. Going out there and going to meet up with Andrew, Michelle, and Matt, and Lerma, and all those people, and we're just going to have a good time.
That's nice. Yeah. Are you going to be working with Russell again, or are you just
going to No, this year I'm going to enjoy it. Nice. I'm going to actually go out there and hang out a little bit more and do things. So if anyone needs my help, I'll help them.
I fear if you're around, someone will say, hey, can you help me out? Grab this.
I'm pretty sure they'll all have plenty of help, but you know, yeah. I'm willing to. You know, if they need something moved or whatever, I'll help them out. That's not a big deal for me.
Exactly. So did you grow up in Houston?
Yep. Born and raised in Houston, Texas. Family's from Louisiana. So I like to tell people I grew up in Texas, but I grew up in Louisiana on the weekends.
Okay.
As soon as Friday came along, by the time I got home from school, the truck was packed and we were headed to Louisiana.
Oh, really? What was that like growing up, like on those weekends? What was it? Was that full of, because I'm not from Louisiana, and a lot of people that probably listen to this aren't. Was it full of amazing food? In my mind, I think of just great food, but I'm sure it was. Yeah.
It was food and hanging out all the time. So it was either crawfish, boudin, jambalaya, you know, it was, and then they play cards, and then the kids would run around.
And like fish and
But
stuff too? Is that fishing? Is that something big in Louisiana?
we do fishing also.
Yeah.
We do fishing also. But as kids, we would run around, and as a city boy, I didn't want to get dirty.
So you were living in the city.
Yeah, up until I got a little bit older, you know, I'd go to Louisiana and my mom would have me all starched down and dressed up,
That's funny.
and I was like, ah, I don't want to get dirty. No.
Isn't that funny how like sometimes that there's that it's then after a while like it doesn't matter. And I'm sure you get dirty all the time working in
Oh, man.
the
I'm surprised I'm clean today
right? I know you look surprisingly clean, like your hands are actually.
Look at that.
So were you guys barbecuing then too? Was your family doing that?
My family doesn't really barbecue. They are more along the lines of grilling
Okay.
and cooking food well done.
Okay.
So that's,
We all know about those relatives.
so I'll cook something now for my family or my dad or something, and he's like, "Son, this isn't even cooked all the way." I'm like, "Okay." I end up having to burn his food and everything else, but that it's we did a lot of Creole food. We didn't do too much barbecue. My barbecue came from growing up in Houston. When I was about 8 years old, I started going to fiddle contests because I used to play the fiddle. I still do now.
Oh, wow, that's great.
I'd go to contests at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and after the contest, the barbecue cook-off was going on at the same time, so we just walk across the cook-off area, and
Were there restaurants involved in that, or was that just kind of private
oh
get people?
no, this was in the early 80s.
Okay.
It was back then. It was more like an open tailgate. It's
Gotcha.
nothing like it is now.
Gotcha.
It's you know, you could walk up to anywhere and get somebody's food and anything, but now you have to know someone to get in their tent. And yeah, it's not that easy and it's very expensive.
The world of barbecue has changed a lot since then, huh?
Oh, definitely. So, growing up, every year I was going to the cook-off, even when I got in high school, then it started being a little bit more isolated to where you had to know someone in a tent and things like that. And one of my friends' dad, he had a tent, Steve's, and he had also had a barbecue place.
Huh.
It was Steve's barbecue, and well, we'd go to his tent and just hang out there and walk around to go to other places. And I got older, moved to Austin, and back in 2005, and I was like, you know what? I want to replicate in Houston. I mean, in Austin, what I did in Houston. So got a bunch of friends together, and by 2006, we had our own barbecue cook-off team in
Oh.
Austin. So
Really?
that's the dream. Officially started, and I knew that I wanted to build a brand and everything around what I was doing because one day I wanted to open up a barbecue restaurant.
So that was the plan since around 2005.
Yep,
Oh,
that was
wow. And what was the
cool.
team's name?
It was called Dirty Swamp Cookers.
Dirty. Little Kate, little bit of your Louisiana roots in there.
Still around in Austin, so all my friends.
Do you guys still do contests?
They do.
Oh, they do.
I don't do them anymore. I just go over there to have fun with them and drink with them.
How was
Have
that? That
a
sounds
or
fantastic. What was it like? Were you going to sanction events and cooking like with the boxes and turn-in boxes and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So
Yep.
how? What was that world? Because that world is a lot different than the world.
It's totally different. Totally different. The way you present your meat, how you cook your meat, what you do to your meat. It's a world of difference. So I did that for about about 3 or 4 years out in Austin, moved back to Houston, and somebody wanted me to take over their tent. So I actually took over their tent for 3 years
Oh.
and she had Dirty Swamp Cookers in Houston also.
A branch.
Sure. Yeah. I had all this in my head. And, then I just decided that you know, there was another way that I wanted to go through all this. And that was the way of setting myself up to open up a barbecue restaurant.
So then around that time, it was closer to what, 2008, 2009?
2010.
2010. So things were starting to gain momentum in the barbecue world, right? Like slowly.
Right. You were getting a lot of the Pitmaster shows and you know, all the cooking shows were also moving towards some sort of smoked meat or barbecue, and Aaron Franklin had really taken off by the time that I'd got going in that in that way. So you'd go to the contest and then you'd see Tuffy, you know, he'd be walking around and you know, Johnny Triggs and all those guys you've seen on TV, they'd be walking right past your tent or even come in your tent and talk to you. And
which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know, you got to talk to all these guys and you know, have fun with them.
That's really cool. So when you lived, this is a little jump back, but when you lived in Austin, were you going down to Lockhart at all or going over to City Market or?
Yeah, we go to Lockhart. We go to,
Louis Miller.
I never stood in line for Franklin. I never went to Franklin when I was out there.
Okay.
We'd go to Lockhart. We go to Smitty's, Black's, and everyone that came into town, they always wanted to go to Salt Lick.
Of course.
It's kinda... So we take them to Salt Lick, and Salt Lick is all you can eat. Uh-huh. So you can't beat that. You pay one price, you feed your whole family, and, well, everyone has to pay, but they can eat as much as they want to eat, and you do it.
Bring your own beer, and it's an experience. It's definitely worth taking people to go. Even today, it's still something that you want to iconically bring them. If they want to go, I always take people to.
And I love all those places. I still love those places. I was in Lockhart 2 weeks ago for the Hill Country Cookoff. Representing B&B Charcoal, and I stopped by and I finally got to meet Roy Perez.
Oh, that's so cool.
So
how was he?
Oh, he was great. He noticed me as soon as I walked in the door, and he was like, "Joey," and big hug, and he started talking to me. He's like, "Man, I finally get to meet you." I'm like, "No, I finally get to meet you."
See, that's so funny. How weird is that?
You're the man. And then he was like, "Hey, we got to take the iconic picture of you cutting meat and me right next to you."
Oh, I saw that. I remember seeing that. That was so cool.
And then so he took me, and that place is huge. And so he took me around. It's a big U in the back where they prepare stuff that they're going to mail out. Oh. They do a lot of mail outs.
Yeah, they do. It seems like those Lockhart places, at least Will Blacks and Kreitz, have a really great business like that. That's a smart business.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of mail out business. And, you know, I talked to Clay and I tease Clay. I'm like, "What do you do during the week?" I know he cooks, but I just still like to tease. And it's like, "No, we have a lot of mail outs, even at Snow's." So
yeah, and it seems like whenever I've talked to Clay, it's like during the week. Yeah, he's there like for an overnight and that's interesting too, because that's something that I eventually want to delve into for people is the fact that you can have barbecue shipped from these places. It's not necessarily inexpensive, but you can.
Right, right, right. You probably pay twice as much, but it's worth it, especially if you're from Texas and you miss it or you try it, you know, that's the perfect way to do it.
And for people that have never been to Texas or don't understand, opening up an entire brisket it's monumental to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and people worry about reheating smoked meat. That's probably the best meat you can reheat.
For sure.
As long as you don't slice it, you can reheat it slowly, and it'll be just as moist and juicy as the first day you had it.
That is true. So someday people will be getting Victorian's smoked meat shipped to them, right? Hopefully. So hopefully, yeah. We'll see. Yeah. We'll have to revisit that for sure. So when did you get an offset, or did you have a small offset at that time?
I bought me my first offset in 2005 when we decided that we were going to have a cooking team, and it was a Academy from Academy. I don't know if you know what Academy is out here.
I don't know.
It's like a sporting goods, like Dick's or something like that. Sporting goods. So I bought a little bitty smoker offset, and that was the first one. My cousin still has that smoker. He still uses it.
Okay.
It's kind of funny because our first cook-off, we had no idea what we were doing. We just wanted to cook, drink beer, and play music, you know, because we were all playing, you know, I play the fiddle and, you know, everybody else plays something. Mm-hmm. So that's what we wanted to do. So I asked the one guy, I was like, "Hey, make sure you bring wood. We need wood." he brings in the back of his car nothing but twigs from his backyard.
Oh, jeez.
So we started cooking with the twigs and finally had to ask people for wood. And we ended up getting like fifth place in chicken, like what, about seventh, eighth place in brisket. It was crazy because all we were, you know, we weren't expecting to even place. We had no idea what we were doing. The health inspector was about to shut us down. She got there. She goes, "Where's your hand sanitizer?" No, where are you going to wash your dishes? We're like, so if I come back and you don't have any of that stuff, I'm shutting you down and you're going home.
How did you get that stuff? Did you just get it, borrow it from other people?
So our neighbor, who are friends with us till today now, they were walking by when all that was going on and they were like, "Hey, do this, do this, do this. We have all of this stuff. When she comes back, we'll put it by your stuff. And it'll be okay because we already passed."
That's so funny. Maybe, you know, that's also what, right there, that's the barbecue world right there in like a little, in a nutshell.
Oh, yeah.
Helping each other out. That's really.
All day long.
So then when did you graduate to a bigger smoker?
Let's see. When did I graduate to a bigger smoker? When I moved back to Houston, and right before I moved back to Houston, actually, I had someone custom build me one. Mm-hmm. And it was about the size of a 300-gallon propane tank.
Okay.
And I used that the last year I was in Pflugerville. And he didn't design it very well because that joker would go up in flames, even though it was an offset so easily. It had a sausage smoke box on one side, the fire box on the other side. He had three different smoke stacks. I don't know what he was thinking.
He was creating an art project.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing. So, there's pictures of it somewhere online.
I would love to see that. So if you ever find it, shoot me a text or an email.
I'll send it to you. That joke, it cooked, but it would go up in flames so easily. So you had to watch it a lot because the way he had it, he had the grease falling back into the smoke box.
Oh, that's dangerous.
That was dumb.
$700.
Yeah.
When did you step up to a better one?
I sold that one in 2000. Let's see. Sold that one in 2012. Mm-hmm. And then took a couple of years. And then we have the, then I purchased a Pitmaker vault. Okay. And then we had a 1,000-gallon built that we still have today.
And who built that 1,000-gallon? Is that someone that people would know, or is it just a person, just a builder?
Just a builder. Yeah.
Were you doing catering? Were you starting to do catering then? Is that kind of?
So when I moved back to Houston, I was doing welding inspections.
Oh.
I was also back in the nightclubs DJing. And also managing a bar restaurant.
Oh.
So then I got into welding inspecting, and that's pretty much where everything started. Then the oil industry kind of went kaput. They laid a bunch of us off. I turned 40, and I was like, you know what? If I don't do this or do something that I absolutely love, I don't want to be 50, 60 years old and going, man, I wish I would have done that. Mm-hmm.
Or deciding to do it then, and it's harder. As you get older, it gets harder. Yeah.
Right, right. And so I was also making my own seasoning and selling it on the side, and then Kroger and HEB picked it up.
Oh.
So I'd sell the seasoning to Kroger and HEB and made enough money from that, and that's when I purchased my food trailer.
Gotcha. Ah.
Okay. That's how I started.
So do you still sell the seasoning?
I still sell it on the side. It's no longer in HEB or Kroger, although it's in some because they never pulled it. The one right by my house, it's still in that one.
Oh, that's that's cool to see.
Probably. Yeah, so it's still in there. And that was called Dirty Swamp Seasoning.
Was it a seasoning for steaks, or was it like for grilling, or was it for?
Yeah, I had a black pepper, which was a black pepper, garlic, salt, mustard powder and a whole bunch of other stuff. And that was steak and brisket.
Okay.
I still use it today for my briskets. And I had a Creole, which was like you slap your mom or something like that, except I had a third of the salt. It was more spices than anything. And then I had a hot version of that. So they were all seasonings, those two.
Well, when I go to Texas, I'm going to search those out, see if I got or if I've ever like at an HEB or a Kroger.
Whenever you come back or if you come near Houston or Austin, let me know and I'll bring you some.
Okay, cool. Yeah, excellent.
Send me your address.
I will, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I want to get one of those hats. We got to talk about those hats, too.
I'll get you one of those, too.
Excellent. Whatever. I just enjoy talking to you. It'll be more fun to actually see you in your in Texas. Or next time you're actually in L.A. Well, so then at that time, so then you got your food trailer, and was that something, were you nervous getting that, or were you just excited because you knew this is what you want to do?
I was excited. I had already been cooking barbecue for the cook-off, and we used to serve 1,500 people a night at the cook-off three nights in a row. Okay. I was excited to do this. I got in there, and I had no idea really about the barbecue world that you and I know now. Mm-hmm. So no idea, you know, that there was this huge Instagram thing or this was going on or you know, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And one day I'm sitting in there and this guy comes up, he orders a bunch of stuff and he sits down at the patio table and he's just slowly like picking and he'd pick and so then I text my wife. I was like, I don't know who this dude is, but he's like picking all his food, and I don't know if that's good or bad or what's going on.
That's interesting. I think I know who this is.
I took a picture and sent it back to her, and then he walks up and he goes, "Hey, I'm JC Reed of the Houston Chronicle." I was like, "Oh, okay." He goes, "I really enjoyed your stuff. You ever think about going to do festivals and things like that?" I was like, "No." I didn't know there was some, you know, and he's like, "Yeah, the Woodlands Festival is coming up. If you'd like to be a part of that. And then, if you do well in that, then maybe we'll put you in the Houston Barbecue Fest." And so that's,
oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that was kind of how that route. Yeah. Cause that's like that. And that right there, that kind of puts you into that Houston barbecue world.
Yeah. That threw me in head first. I didn't know how much or how big it was until I started meeting everybody at the Woodlands Festival that I was invited to. And that's where I met John Brotherton. I had already kind of talked to Russell Regal, and I was already talking to Aura from Harlem Road Barbecue a lot. Because I was talking to him because he basically had the same trailer setup that I had. And I was like, "Man, how do you get away with this? How do you do this? How do you do that without getting in trouble?" And you know, he was my mentor, and he was like, "Joey, just do this, do this, do this." So I finally got to cook with everybody and be with everybody and get into that world, and that's how all that started.
What year was that?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, okay. And so when you had your trailer, were you moving that trailer around, or was that at a fixed location?
No, it just so happens that a guy that at Ace Hardware that I was selling my seasoning to has a huge lot right next to it. And he told me I could set up there, and it's 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, okay.
He told me I could set up there, pay him X amount of dollars for rent, and, that's, you know, put a temporary pole with electricity, and we were good to go.
And how many days were you selling there?
3 days a week.
3 days. And you, so, but you were selling sides too, which is something you probably weren't doing in the competition.
But we still, you know, we still cooked sides.
Oh, you did at the competition?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, we didn't actually turn any sides in, but we still cooked sides for all the people that were
visiting,
things like that. So,
okay.
And I had done a lot of catering before.
Okay.
So yeah. that wasn't anything new. You know, potato salad, beans, coleslaw,
the staples, kind of.
Yeah.
So, what was the reaction to the community? Was it, where in Houston was this?
This was in Northwest Houston.
Northwest.
It's kind of Cypress area, 290 and 1960.
Okay.
So Northwest Houston, And it was a great reception, but a lot of people that knew me basically were like, "Man, you're too far." So, and 290 had just started construction, so to get to me was just
a murder.
Yeah, it really was. For anyone that knew me, to continue to support me. And then after a while, it just became too much. They would literally have the freeway shut down. And, you know, I could tell immediately when everything was happening.
So how do you weather that? Is that something, like, business-wise, is that just something that you cook a little bit less if you know it's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, you cook a little bit less. You have a wife that has a good paying job.
That's important. Yeah, I know. That's important. That is.
Yeah. And luckily her job, she was working from home the days that I was out there selling and cooking. So gotcha. We set her up an office inside the trailer and she can work in there. And if I needed a little bit of help every now and then, she'd sneak around if I had a line or something like that to help me out.
Gotcha. So when did you feel like the momentum was starting to turn, that people were, I guess, when people probably from further away or maybe outside of Texas were visiting you, right?
I started getting a lot of Instagram likes, people liking my Instagram page on both of them, my personal one and my Victorian's Barbecue. And when I moved to the Heights location, which is kind of central Houston, and, you know, people started following me, and, you know, even on the first day I opened that, you know, there were people there that just followed me on Instagram. And then I started getting requests to come and interview me, do a little video shoot. And a lot of the barbecue community owners and everyone else started supporting me. You know, they'd show up at my trailer. Even Isao from San Antonio, you know, he was there. You know, Russell showed up, a lot of the Yoni, a lot of those guys that
do the best barbecue guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Aura. I mean, everybody was showing up and everybody was bringing somebody in. And I started having a lot of repeat customers. And everything was going real well up until people started vandalizing my trailer and unplugging things and turning things off. The day before Daniel Vaughn showed up, they vandalized my trailer. So all of my food was destroyed that was sitting in the warmer, except that I had two or three more briskets on the smoker that they didn't know about.
Why? What is going? Why would that happen? Is that just some like negative world that we don't?
I started getting hate text messages to me, and it was crazy. It was crazy. They put a damper on a lot of my stuff in my business over there.
So did they ever catch these people, or do we even know who this?
No.
So do you have to have cameras now?
I put cameras over there, but they weren't around.
Yeah.
Once the cameras was up, they didn't continue to do it. But they still put a damper on when it was important for me to have things right and ready.
Yeah. Did Daniel know about this?
We finally told him. Oh. I mean, he was there, and he and JC had showed up. JC brought him there.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, so
that's a shame. I didn't, for some reason, I missed that chunk of your story. I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, what he'll can be, you do? Yeah, but
he'll be back some other day.
Yeah. He'll and so. Exactly. Yeah. So what now? What does the future hold? That you're getting a brick and mortar, right?
Right. We're working on the brick and mortar. We're still in contract negotiations right now on what I have to do and what they have to do. Even though we started work on everything, but so we're still working on that. We are planning on doing, because if that continues, which it hopefully it will, that'll open up in March or April.
Okay.
So in the meantime,
2019, if you're listening to this later this year, or yeah,
there you go. In the meanwhile, we want to do a lot of catering, because catering, you make a decent amount of money catering.
For sure.
It's a great business. And you don't have overhead.
Yeah. So, no, it's, yeah. Oh yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
So if people right now want to eat your food, is it strictly catering, or is it, you guys, you still do open, right, for?
No, we actually sold our trailer to John Brotherton.
Oh, okay. Now I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to start doing pop-ups with it or set it up at some office
Okay.
and serve from there and do catering out of it. So we sold that to him, took that money, and purchased a lot of restaurant equipment. So if you want my food now, what I do is I do cooks on the weekends, and I'll take orders from people if you need a brisket or something like
Okay.
that. Since I'm doing cooks, just give me a call, and you got to buy it whole, but
Hey.
you still get the deal. And then I'm going around and doing different things. Last week, a couple of weeks ago, like I said, I was at the Hill Country barbecue deal, and I did a lot of tri-tip over there, smoked tri-tip. Apparently, that's what I'm getting known for. Don't tell that to Callie. Hey, don't tell them out there, but.
No, but you know what? If you do a good job of tri-tip, it tastes really, really good. You can mess it up.
Yeah, you can dry it out real
Yeah.
fast.
And you could also cut it incorrectly, and then you've wasted all your time.
Yep. So I do a lot of tri-tip right now, believe it or not.
Wow.
And on top of my tri-tip, my wife makes a mean chimichurri, and she puts it on there, and it's to die for. So we've been on TV two or three times
Really?
over the tri-tip, so that's pretty funny.
That's really cool. That's interesting for a Texan.
We get a lot of California people that came to our trailer just to have the tri-tip because they can't find it out here.
Yeah. There's
That was
not, you
pretty.
know, for us, for California being the tri-tip capital of the world, we really don't have a lot of places that I could go to to just go get. If I want to get tri-tip today, there's maybe one place I know of.
Really?
Yeah. I could
And
drive somewhere far, but.
how are they serving it? I noticed that I see it a lot on sandwiches.
Yeah, si sandwiches. Excuse me. Yeah, sandwiches, and but they seem to when they do it on sandwiches, they don't seem to care. Like take the care in the tri-tip. There's a place called Stonefire Grill. I think they have maybe three or four of them, and they do a really good job. And you can get it rare if you want, and they'll serve it with like a compote butter, like a garlic herb butter, or like some kind of a au jus.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's really good. But it's you would think there'd be 30 places that I could go to.
Yeah.
You would think, but maybe tri-tip is not as popular as everyone imagined.
I should have had some while I was out there.
I know. Next time you come, there's a place in near Santa Barbara. Next time you come, we'll go up to it. I've been meaning to go. It's a place, I think it's a lot of motorcycle guys go. It's up in the middle. It's called a, I think Stone something, Stone Creek Tavern or something. And it's a beautiful location. It's up in the mountains of Santa Barbara, but it's also just the amazing tri-tip.
Awesome. I tell you, when I was out there and we were waiting for you,
I won't live that down.
Andrew, Michelle, Bert, all those guys, man, they just showed me a great time, and we went, like I said, we went to Holland Ray's, and I next time it's gonna be medium. It's not gonna be hot. I will see if I can handle the medium, and I like to think that I can handle hot things, but shh.
But imagine trying the hottest one. They have that.
No.
Yeah. You have to wear gloves.
No, that's not gonna happen.
That one, like I've seen it on YouTube, and people are like their eyes are tearing, and their like nose is running, and like they're in so much pain.
Yeah, we went there, and it was funny because Andrew was like, "Watch this," and Bert goes in there, and Bert's like a superstar in there. They scream for him and everything. He's like, "Man!" So he come in there, and he brings out a whole bunch of bags of. He just ordered a bunch of stuff. He's like, "Oh, you get some of this, you get some of this." And so we all started digging in, and they had two other guys sitting next to me, and they're like, "Try this, your first time." I was like, "Yeah." And I took the burger, the chicken burger, because I got a chicken burger, and I bit into it, and my eyes started watering. And they're like, "You just got to get past the initial burn." And I'm like, "Okay." And then I made the mistake when I put it down, I licked my fingers because, that stuff was everywhere. Oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and you get it on your lips, and then your lips are like numb.
My beard, all day long, my beard was on fire.
So shout out to Howlin' Rays.
We'll be back.
Of course. No, and it's amazing because it's sort of that heat that you want to keep eating. There's something, the capsaicin, there's something in there that makes you want to continue. And the quality of the chicken, everything, the product is so good. It's really hot.
You know, the thing is I know the pain, but every time I see it online still, I'm like, man, I want to have another one.
Yeah. It photographs so well too.
So I love doing that, man. I love traveling and going to meet other pit masters. If you've looked at my Instagram and everything else, you'll see me everywhere. I love going, you know, when I went to New York, I went to Hometown Barbecue and met with those guys. LA met with you know, Moose Craft and Trudy's, and so and everybody's going to be coming back this next week to Austin, so we'll all meet there. I love going around Austin and taking pictures with these guys and eating their food and supporting Texas barbecue. And if I can go anywhere, and I will go other places, I'm going to support other kinds of barbecue and hopefully take pictures with them and eat their food and everything else. One of the coolest things that was ever done was my daughter went to, and she's 10 years old. She went with her mom and her stepdad to South Carolina
Okay.
and told her to go see Rodney.
Oh.
And so I messaged Rodney. I said, "Hey, my daughter's coming. Do you mind taking a picture with her? She wants to tell you hi because she loves barbecue too." So sure enough, they sent me a picture. You know, she was with Rodney and everything else. And I mean, it's cool. It's absolutely cool to have a community that's so tight-knit and everything like that. I've called Billy Durney for recipes. I've asked many people for different recipes, and everyone's real open about everything. And if anyone asks me, I'll tell you how I do it. If you want to do it correctly, everybody knows that you have to have the passion for it, you have to have the patience for it, and you have to really, really have the right equipment and time. You got to have time. You can't rush anything with barbecue, with a good barbecue.
And you have, yeah, and as long as you put in if you have the passion and you put in the time, you'll get somewhere at least, even if you're just a home cook, you'll start progressing and you'll start to learn from those cooks. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I like to do these is to show the barbecue community, because what you just said is what I feel, because there's not many, like I couldn't necessarily call up a high-end French chef and say, can we do a Skype interview? And he'd be like, yeah, sure. But this is something you want to share your passion. You're sharing it with me, and it's I love that openness.
And I don't mind doing it. I absolutely love doing it. I love teaching people how to do it. And I don't have any secrets.
Yeah.
I don't have any secrets.
I just wanted to see how your beard was growing, because I'm working on mine too, so mine isn't quite as yours is very impressive. How
This is 3 weeks, Kevin.
Okay, well, maybe I'm not drinking enough milk or something. I don't Yeah, actually, this is 3 days for you, right?
My mom tells me, "Son, your beard is as gray as your dad's." I was like, "Yeah, it happens."
Yeah, I can't tell if my beard is gray or if it's blonde, but I'm pretty sure it's gray.
Keep letting it go. You'll be able to figure it out. My wife loves it too, so
That's
yeah.
cool. That's a bonus. That's so. Are there any other barbecue places that are off the beaten path that people might not know of because you're traveling around?
I think people should go and see Louie over, he's in Austin. He has a trail out there.
Okay.
If you can get out to Hays County, or if you could definitely get to Hays County, which is in, it's in San Marcos, and but they're pretty big. That's not really off the beaten path. That's off the freeway. But you have some great barbecue. You have to go to my nemesis, John Brotherton in Pflugerville.
I've heard amazing things. The sandwiches, right? Aren't the sandwiches amazing?
we give each other, you know, such hell, and we've got the Houston Austin throwdown coming up,
Oh,
so
yeah.
going back and forth. We're real good friends, but we've been going back and forth with each other
That's nice.
and kind of throwing each other under the bus, but then you'll see he and I eating at some barbecue restaurant
You're like,
or
what's
something.
up with this?
Yeah, because when I lived in Austin, I lived in Pflugerville.
Okay.
So, you know, I go over there and I'd say, "Hey, I'm in town," and he'll be like, "All right, where are you going? I'm meeting you. Let's go eat barbecue." And I'm like, "Don't you work, dude?"
That's what I always wonder too with a lot of people. I'll see their Instagram feed. And I'm like, do they ever work?
Yep. Now, John is a great guy, and they're opening up a Liberty Barbecue over in Round Rock.
I'm
I don't know if
excited,
you have
man.
a chance to talk to John, but that's
No, I
he.
want to. John, like these people that you've mentioned, there's a couple people that I'm searching out, and I've kind of emailed back and forth. I really want to talk to them. Yeah, for sure.
Great guys, great guys.
And Pflugerville, for people that might know, it's a PH, PF, right?
PF. And everything that starts with an F out there, they change it to PF. So, yeah, you see all kind of crazy. And you think it's some Dr. Seuss thing going on over there.
Pflugerville does sound like Dr. Seuss. I love that. Yes, it does.
So they filmed the TV show, what was it, Friday Night Lights? Over at Pflugerville High School for
Oh,
years.
okay.
Yeah, so.
It was interesting when I was living in Texas, driving through, like on a Friday, I was driving at night and I'd see lights in the distance and I'm like, what is, because I'm from Los Angeles, like it's like Friday night, it's a big deal, but not, but, and then you see the cars, all the cars.
Yeah, in the middle of a field, some bright lights. They're like, what's going on over there? Oh, it's Friday. Okay,
It's
all right, there
Friday,
we go.
yeah. And it's football.
High school football, so.
Amazing. Yeah. It's and what a great show too. That was an amazing show.
Yeah, it was.
So what's your what is, like what's a great barbecue bite that you've had recently? Can you remember anything?
Going back to John does a great Philly cheesesteak that he smokes. That's
Oh,
delicious.
that sounds so good.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's different. Some of the best barbecue I've ever had, hands down, is hometown barbecue. That's great. I love, believe it or not, my favorite way to eat barbecue is a loaded baked potato.
Oh, okay.
And doing my own monster loaded baked potato, I can eat all day, every day. I'll go to a place called Damaris. They're more commercial barbecue, but I'll go there and eat their baked potato.
Have you had the Pecan Lodge? Have you had their, but it's a sweet potato, right? I think.
Yeah, I've never eaten any barbecue in Dallas yet.
Okay.
My daughter lives there, so it's very hard for me to get up there on the weekends when I go to see my daughter to do anything else. And then most of the time on the weekends I'm working too.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and Dallas is 4 hours away. It's not as close as people might think. We
Yeah.
can Dallas can be Oklahoma. That's
know, I know. It's like people say, like, do you go to San Francisco often? And I'm like, well, no, I would love to, but it's like 6 hours
Yeah, I'm sorry if there's any Cowboy fans out there. I'm a Texans fan, so.
I'm sure there's a couple Cowboy fans.
Yeah, they're listening and they're probably going to hate me now.
That would and Russell's putting out some interesting stuff, especially his pastrami. I want to try his pastrami.
Oh yeah, Russell's pastrami is phenomenal. All of his barbecue, I think he has this what is it, a rum banana pudding or something like that.
Oh, I haven't had that.
That's phenomenal. I'll go over there and I'll just raid his whole place and just walk in there and people, I'll walk in the back and people who don't know me are like, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? He'll come out and Russell is a jokester. I got home the other day and noticed that he put a Rago's barbecue sticker on my smoker on the temperature gauge.
On top of the gauge?
Yeah,
Oh,
he
that's
did that
funny.
on Sunday.
Oh, that's too funny.
At Aegis, which is another great place. That's off the beaten place that people should visit.
True.
Patrick is in a food court in Greenway Plaza off of 59 in Houston.
Fijis barbecue, yeah.
Aegis Barbecue. And they should go there. And that's off the beaten path. Don't get afraid to go there. You just park in the parking garage. And as soon as you get in the parking garage, if you look to your left, there's some doors. You go through there and you're automatically almost in the food court.
And they're open Monday through Friday because of the kind of the business area.
Right. So they're Monday through Friday, which is great because it allows them to do festivals and
Yeah.
other things on Saturday and Sunday.
And Patrick and his wife, they're both amazing. Is it Patrick and Aaron, right? Is it?
Yeah, Patrick
Yeah.
and Aaron, and
And
they're
the
about to have a baby, so that's cool too.
Oh, that, yeah. That's and they do whole hogs. He does whole hogs sometimes, right?
Yeah. He does great whole hogs. Actually, Rodney taught him how to do whole hogs.
Yeah, that's from the master.
He actually won. He got third place this weekend at the Butcher's Ball with us.
I saw that. How was it? Was that a fun event?
Yeah. Oh, it was a great event. It was a great event. It's a lot of. It's mainly chefs. There's not too many barbecue people. There was probably 5 or 6 out of the 50 that do barbecue.
Oh, okay. I want to go next year.
Yeah, it's real fun, and it's at a ranch. And Patrick got third place. I got 7th place. Killens, I think, got 2nd place.
Yeah,
I think but it's kind of all of us. We were all kind of in the same area. So we had a blast, man. We go out there and we tell a bunch of lies and drink a bunch of beer the night before.
Perfect.
Yeah. Burn some food for everybody to eat the night before also. it's a good time. To go Saturday night is the best for me because I really get to know these guys and really get to hang out with them even more. My friend Jeff from Cake and Bacon, that they make my buns, hanging out with Jeff. Jeff does a lot of butchering and making his own sausage and things like that. He tricked me because I've never had cow tongue before. And he was like, here, try it. And he just damn near stuck it in my mouth. And I guess I got to eat it now. Well, I'm chewing it. I'm telling you, it was good. I was like, but I don't eat anything. I don't taste anything that'll taste me back. Mm-hmm. So it was good. Can't say that I'd order it anywhere, but it was good.
And there's not a lot of places selling it necessarily, I think.
Well, in Texas, you get a lot of places that'll do it here.
Oh, really? Okay, not here. Maybe more delis here.
Yeah, but I'm just it's just a texture thing for me. Mm-hmm. Taste is there, but it's a texture thing for me. So you know, that was great. He had some smoked boudin. That was great. And Aaron and Patrick, what did they have? They had some kind of cheesy grits with a pork on top of it. That was real good. So we had and then John Taser from Knife up in Dallas. He was out there. I didn't get to see him. He was under the arena, so I didn't get a chance to check him out. But it was a fun time.
That's a big event.
Yeah. They about 1,100 people.
Texas doesn't have enough events, do they?
No. It's hard to find.
Yeah, I know. It's like we have like 4, probably more, but like it seems like we have like 3 or 4 here. It seems like every weekend I'm like, oh, there's another one coming up.
There you go. That's what we do here. Yeah. And it's great for like I said, Patrick and Aaron, they could get out and do them. And that's why they make a lot of them on Sundays also. So a lot of restaurants or pit masters, you know, their restaurants, barbecue joints are normally closed on Sundays. So
yeah, that makes it perfect. But there's some new ones. There's a Brett's is going to be open on Sunday.
Yeah, Brett is a real nice guy. Mm-hmm. Got to get out there. I'll probably get out there this weekend, maybe, and not this weekend, but next weekend when I get out there, because I'm planning on being there early Thursday morning. So I'm going to do my rounds again. Probably head to Dripping Springs to see Marco and all those guys at the Switch.
Yeah.
Maybe go back to see Lance at Style Switch. I love visiting with these guys, and
they're great. They're great people. They're some of the best people you'll meet, and it's yeah, and also too, like it's when you come, it's not they'll take the time. They'll take a little bit of time if they have it to show you around or just to chit chat.
Absolutely, and that's what it's all about. That's how we help each other out.
Mm-hmm. So. And also gives you ideas too for your future restaurant.
Yeah. And you know what, if like, say, for instance, if I go into, you know, Regal's or anywhere, or, you know, I'll check out their setup and see what I might think might work for my building and what wouldn't work for my building, you know, and just get ideas of that and get ideas on when they're running an actual restaurant, mm-hmm. timing of the meat and when holding, they start. Yeah. And holding and things like that. So
those are the most important things, really. Like the cooking part, you can get a handle of that, and you have a handle of that. But it's the operation portion which is really important.
Right. Wow. Right.
That's great. Well, I'm so happy we got a chance to speak. And I apologize for LA traffic.
It's all good. It's all good. Next time I go there and you don't show up again, then I'll be mad.
I'll be waiting for you. You better show up. You're the
So,
one. You'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm stuck in LA traffic.
no, we got to get out there because I think isn't Bert opening Slab or something like
Should
that?
be
And
pretty soon, yeah.
okay, so we'll be
Excellent.
out there for that. We'll be out there to. I'd like to go to Oakland to check out Matt again.
Oh yeah.
My cousin lives in Oakland, so I could stay with him and go back out there and see Andrew and Michelle.
Oh yeah. Some of the best people. I love Andrew, Michelle, Bert, Matt. They're just it's and it's kind of our little world out here that we have that's
Yeah, they're
growing.
great people. Awesome.
Awesome. And you're an awesome person too, and I'm so happy. I've loved chatting with you online, but now it's nice to we actually see each other in person and chat.
Anytime, man. Anytime you want to chat or have questions or whatever, let me know. And you're in town or whatever, let me know.
Thank you, sir. Hope to see you soon and have a great weekend and have a good time at Texas Monthly too.
Will do.
All right, see you, sir. All right, bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.